welcome to A Drummer's Guide to the podcast, all about the things it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument. So I wanted to share with you a story of my experience that happened. It was just over a week and a half ago now. And I spoke about it previously on the podcast because it was the lead up to it. And that was teaching at the Drummer's Odyssey Camp. Sorry, I'm just getting comfortable right now. The weather is getting colder here, so it means I'm all like snuggled up. So I'm going to snuggle up with you right now and talk to you about this Drummer's Odyssey Camp. So it was a 2-day event. It was down in Bristol in the UK. And I was one of the resident teachers, along with Matty Brown, who is Stormzy's drummer currently, and Jost Nickel from Germany. And yeah, so I'd been asked to do this probably, I don't even know, maybe 8 months ago, something like that. And in all honesty, when I got the call to do it, it scared the bejesus out of me, because I was like, me teaching people? Like, really? Okay, cool. So, but I've gotten into this habit, and I have sort of spoken on this before, where when something kind of scares me and I feel it challenges me, like in my head, I should be saying yes. So I said yes. I was like, yes, I'll work it out, because it's becoming my new favourite thing. It's like challenging these long-held beliefs that I've had, one of which is, you're not a drum teacher, you can't teach people. So anyway, I decided to challenge this thought. And anyway, I went and did this drum camp. It was like I say, a week and a half ago. It was so much fun. I loved it. So there were about 25 people on the course, on the camp. It was over 2 days, varying abilities of drummers. All of them were just the most wonderful humans. Everyone had something so interesting about them, and like so many different styles of playing, approaches. But the overarching kind of feeling was this feeling of kind of family, supportiveness. There was so much love flying around. And as you know, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, you'll know that I'm a lover, man. And the drum community is, it's my family. I love it so much. And it was very much that vibe. So yes, anyway, if anyone wants to check out the Drummer's Odyssey Camp, by the way, I would highly recommend it. Just seeing how it runs. Obviously, I was involved this year, so I may be slightly biased, but forget about that. Like, take me out of the equation. Just the whole setup. The guy who runs it, AJ Roussel, he cares so much about just bringing value to the people that are on the course, and his attention to detail and how much he cares, it just kind of permeates the whole situation. You know, the people that are on the camp, they come back year on year, and I know why, because it's such a wonderful environment, learning environment, just the hangs. Like, I had so many great conversations with so many great people on that weekend. Shout out to all of you. I'm not gonna start listing names because I know that I'll forget people and then I'll feel really guilty, but you know who you are, because we sat and would have had a nice chat, or we would have had a chat in my room or whatever. You know who you are, because I connected with so many of you. It was just, my heart, it is full. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was something that came up over that weekend. And I spoke with the various classes about this phenomena. No, I don't want to call it a phenomena, this thing. And also to notice how it had a hold of me over the weekend too. And this is the idea of imposter syndrome. Now, I've spoken about imposter syndrome on another episode, like one of the very early ones. So I may cover some of the similar ground because honestly, I haven't listened back to that last episode because I just thought I want to come at this fresh from where I am right now, because I feel like it's, you know, we all have changing thoughts and beliefs and dealing with stuff. So I just thought, let me just come at this fresh, and you can tell me if I'm just spouting the same stuff, but I'll leave that to you. If you want to do that research, all power to you. So, like I say, this imposter syndrome thing, my whole thing was, okay, let me just come at it like this. So when I was leading up to the Drummer's Odyssey Camp, like I say, I had these thoughts in my head. I was like, oh my gosh, like, is this going to be enough? Am I going to give enough value to these people? Like, is what I'm saying and teaching, is it valuable? Because I'm not, how can I put this? When I was thinking about doing this drum camp, I was thinking, right, I'm not going to come at this in terms of like, right, let's sit down and learn these stickings or learn these beats or da 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 da, like the physicality of it. Like, my whole approach was, okay, for instance, I do this podcast, right? And it's more about, I don't want to say a holistic approach because that is, it's not that, but it's kind of, as I say, it's about all the other stuff that comes with being a professional musician that isn't actually the physical playing side of it. So that's what I wanted to center my teaching around. And then I started second guessing myself. I was like, you know, but is that valuable? Will that be useful to drummers? Or am I just like, am I really out of touch? Like, is this actually, anyway, I was going through all this spiraling with myself, and imposter syndrome was definitely kicking in, especially when you look at, and I know this is a terrible thing to do, but I'm human, you know, and I've spoken about this, you shouldn't compare yourself to others, but Matty Brown, love Matty, I've known him a long time, he is a phenomenal drummer and human being, just side note. Love that boy. Love him. Sorry, I will always call him a boy because he's, well, yes, he always calls me auntie. I always call him nephew. I love him to pieces. His family is my family as far as I'm concerned. And then Yost. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable drummer. So I was just there going, what can I bring to the table? Oh no. So anyway, I kind of had those feelings. But again, I've gotten into this habit of challenging my imposter. So instead of spiraling, I was just like, okay, well, I can only do what I can do. I can only be the person that I am. And in the lead up, I was sort of sorting out all this material to teach and stuff. And I was thinking, is this enough? Is this going to be enough? Like, and I was preparing, but I was trying to not over prepare, because that's usually what I do in most scenarios, which is fine, and in a lot of situations very appropriate, because you just got to cover all the bases and it's about doing the job. But the thing with this was that I was very aware that I needed to leave space for the people on the course. It was all about being present. It needed to be about being present with the people in the room, or the person that was sat on the drum chair if I'd got someone up to play, and just leaving space for spontaneity, for creativity, for addressing the exact issues they might be having, or, you know, just allowing that. And to allow that, it meant that I had to, in my books, underprepare. It isn't underpreparing in the grand scheme of things. I still was overprepared, but I was definitely kind of leaving space. Very uncomfortable for me, very uncomfortable. But I knew that it was the right thing to do. In hindsight, it absolutely was the right thing to do. And I feel like it went well. It did for me. I got nice feedback, so that was nice. But another interesting thing that happened was, again, in the lead up, I felt like such an imposter, and I was so worried that people weren't going to get enough from me. I was like, right, I need to think about extra things that I can give people, so that at the very least, even if they hate what I'm doing, if they come away and they just go, that was rubbish, at least they've got something of value. So I have a bunch of t-shirts, I bought them down. I did a bunch of little goodie bags. I bought sweeties. I bought cakes. I was like, I made like digital gifts as well to give to them. It was just, again, I'm looking back going, Emily, you're an idiot. But anyway, I'm going to come into why I'm not an idiot. And actually, as I say, I have this, it's made me think about imposter syndrome a lot, because that's where all my actions stemmed from. But at the end of that weekend, I just thought, you know what, maybe imposter syndrome could be a positive thing. And like I say, we actively spoke about imposter syndrome in each of the groups I was teaching, partly because I think I was so open about feeling very vulnerable in that situation. You know, I've spent years, since I was a kid, since I was probably about 13, 14 maybe, going to things like this, going to drum camps, going to clinics, masterclasses, obviously had one-on-one lessons for a long time. So I know what it's like to be in that position where you're a student. And I know how vulnerable that feels. I know, you know, getting up to play in front of a group full of drummers, literally the worst thing you could ever think of. It's so intimidating. It's so scary. It's so uncomfortable. And yet it's probably one of the best things you can do for yourself, because if you, you know, the rush that you get after doing that is pretty spectacular. Not to say that, you know, if things go badly, if you like, in your own head, then maybe it doesn't feel like that. And I've had that as well, where I've gotten up, I've played, it was awful, and I feel awful. But there's always something to learn from all of those situations, which is great, but it is uncomfortable. But anyway, I'd never been, look, I've done masterclasses, I've done clinics, that's one thing. But to be in such an intimate setting with 8 or 9 other drummers at a time, you know, you see the whites of their eyes when you're playing or when you're talking. That is intimidating. Let me tell you, that is intimidating. And then like wanting to do a good job. And anyway, all of these things left me very vulnerable. And it's the first time being in that position of just being like, wow, this is a lot. This is, and it's great. And I loved it. But I was very open about the fact that, you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now. I know that you guys are probably feeling really scared, you know, is she going to pick me to get up and play, la 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 la, which, by the way, side note, kudos to every single one of those students that got up over that weekend, every one of them. I am so proud of all of you, and I love you very much. So anyway, I tried to be as vulnerable as I could just to help them feel comfortable, but consequently, we got into this conversation a lot of the time about imposter syndrome, because I feel like we all suffer with it in some varying degree. Creatives especially, I think. That's my experience. My experience when I talk to people is that it's definitely a thing. And it's something that I've certainly had, still have, clearly. And I wanted to... I've gotten really into this thing recently. Okay, so I'm sure I've mentioned before, I've been in talking therapy for the last like 6 months, right? Now I've done CBT on and off for years, which I love. It's very action oriented. It's I've found it very beneficial. But talking therapy has been so fascinating to me, and it's been so invaluable. My therapist, honestly, she is like one of the most, I love her. I actually love her. She's incredible. But I've been thinking about this idea that there is a yin and a yang to everything in life, to everything. So if something seems like a really great thing, yeah, it can be, but there's always a trade-off. There is always a negative side to that. And it might be a smaller negative side, it might, you know, it could be negligible, but it, and the same with negative things, there's always a positive that can be drawn from it. But these two things definitely coexist. At all times, there is kind of this balance going on. And it's so interesting to me, because I've spent my life trying, sorry, without getting too deep into my brain, but hopefully this will resonate with someone. I've spent my whole life trying to concentrate purely on the positives in life, which is great. You know, it's a good quality, but I've ignored any negative connotation. I have not allowed that to exist in my life, which has become problematic. I'll be honest, it's become problematic. And it's made me very, like, it's either good or it's bad. There's no in between. And even if it's bad, in inverted commas, I'm going to find the good and then ignore the bad. I don't think that's the right thing for me to do, at least. I can only talk about myself, and obviously each to their own, and however you feel about that, that's cool. Like, my thing is, as long as you're not hurting anyone, I'm down. I will always be open to ideas, always. So anyway, I was thinking about this in relation to imposter syndrome recently, because I've been so used to fighting with my imposter syndrome and finding ways to, you know, negate the negative, I suppose, and just not ignore it. It's not that, because it's imposter syndrome voices, very loud, hard to ignore. But I just thought, you know, imposter syndrome is painted in such a negative light, and everyone wants to get rid of it. But I started thinking about the fact, well, maybe there's a positive side to it too. And the more that I thought about it, the more I realized that actually there really is, for me at least. So I just wanted to talk through that. So I want to start by saying that I'll go through what I do when the, because there's a time and a place. This is the other thing with imposter syndrome for me. There's a time and a place for it to be prominent and to notice it and to work with it or work against it, whatever. So for the times for me where my imposter syndrome could potentially undermine what I'm trying to do, or if it's trying to scare me out of doing something, or if it's making me feel very unconfident in what I'm about to undertake, I battle it, you know, and there's no other way of saying it. I battle it, I fight it, I am, you know, I challenge it. And the way that I deal with that is I, let me think of an example. So, okay, so with this Drummer's Odyssey camp, I was, my imposter syndrome was going, right, who are you? Who are you to be teaching people? Who are you to be talking to them about this, that, and the other? Blah, 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 blah. You know, you're going to look like an idiot. You're going to, you know, they're just going to be sat there. They're going to be bored. You're not going to know what to say to them. Blah, 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 blah. Like all these completely irrational thoughts. And they only sound irrational now that I've thought about it because, you know, and the being underprepared thing. Oh my God, so scary. Like the thought of having space within a day of like that isn't planned out, that I have not got control over, like, oh well, what if nobody wants to get up to play, what if, you know, there's silence and nobody wants to talk and all this sort of stuff, and my imposter going, yeah, you see, you're rubbish. But what I did in that instance was, instead of accepting what that voice was telling me, which in the past I have, and I'll talk about that in a bit, I've started getting aggro with myself. So I just got started going, hold on a minute. So you're telling me, right, this is a real insight into how I talk to myself, so I apologize in advance if I, you know, this might be a little strange. So I basically was like, right, so hold on, you're telling me if I haven't planned out every second of this and nobody wants to get up, and because I haven't planned out every word, every, you know, every moment, every minute, just in case, are you telling me that I'm not able to just stand there and communicate with people? Is that what you're telling me? And my voice would be like, yeah, trying to get aggro. And then I'll be like, okay, well, I've recorded, I think at this point, just over 120 episodes of A Drummer's Guide 2, right? Each of which are averaging about 30 minutes. That means that we have about 60 hours of me just talking on one subject each time for half an hour. So in the very worst case scenario, I think I can communicate. If someone asks one question, I'm pretty sure that I can at least talk and hopefully give some value and have a comment. I know how to have conversations with people. This is ridiculous. So that's the kind of conversation that I'll have with my imposter, who pipes down, by the way, and goes, ah, yeah, fair enough. So that's my approach when I'm trying to challenge my imposter, because for me, it's about almost building a case. It's like, to me, going to court and building a case against my imposter, just going, hold on a second, because the imposter syndrome thing can be so irrational sometimes, where it's just like, you know, it throws stuff at you that, for me, it just scares me enough that I before would just be like, oh, yeah, 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 like, all right. But actually, if you question it for a second and go, hold on, that's usually how it starts with me, hold on a second, which I do physically, hold on for a second, take a breath, let's talk about this, and, you know, and just actually go, hold on, but you're saying this, however, history dictates that that's probably not true. It was the same with, I'm trying to think, it's something, like, there's been stuff where I've been asked to do it recently, where my imposter has kind of, like, piped up, and then I'm like, hold on a second, if it's a live thing, for instance, or a recorded thing, hold on a second, but I've just worked with on the Voice Kids, right? Now, that gig, first of all, is with some of the country's best musicians, without a doubt. And I was in that mix for 4 years. So I can't be that bad of a player if I lasted there for 4 years. And the only reason that it's not carrying on is because the TV show itself has been cancelled. I can't be that bad of a player. They would have shafted me after the first year if I wasn't good enough to be there. And the regard that I hold those players in, you know, if I'm in that mix, I'm not saying that I'm up there with them because I can't physically do it because it's just my personality. But what I am saying is that I could do the job, clearly. You know, if I get asked, for instance, at the Drummers Audition Camp, being asked to do it and feeling like I couldn't, and that imposter going, you can't teach people. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I thought that when I started The Voice Kids. I couldn't read well enough. But I did it and I managed it, you know, and it was hard, but I did it. There's some stuff that that's going on at home at the moment. And again, it was like, hold on a second. Like, my imposter was going, you can't do that. It's too much for you. It's too, you know, you can't handle that. Hold on a minute. I can actually, you know, and it's this idea of like questioning that imposter. And for me, it means getting aggro because it's how that imposter syndrome is very aggro with me. That voice can be very aggro with me. So I just give it back, which I wasn't right before. I would listen. Now, as I say, there's a time and a place, I think, for reacting like this, and it's very useful in a lot of scenarios. For instance, if you're in a professional situation and you need to get a job done, the last thing that anyone that you're working with wants to hear is that you're feeling unsure about what you're doing, because I feel like there needs to be a sense of confidence there in what you're doing, and you know, you safety. There's a feeling of safety. That's what I like, at least. I like people to feel safe with me. Whether that's musically in the drum camp scenario, I wanted people to feel safe and supported, that you know, this was an encouraging situation, that you didn't need to be kind of scared or anything like that. It was all about us all learning together. And I included myself in that mix, for sure. And like I say, I was very I was very honest about the fact that I was feeling quite vulnerable. But I think that kind of helped everyone settle, like, oh, okay, cool. In saying that, I think there's virtue to being the leader of a group, that kind of like, you should be that strong, safe presence. But anyway, that's kind of, like I say, this is my first drum camp, so I'm still learning. I'm just kind of doing the best I can with what I've got. And the next one that I do, maybe I'll approach it slightly differently. I don't know. But there now is evidence for that imposter to go, well, you've done it before now, and you got great feedback from people learning nice things from you. So that's good, valuable things. So that's great. So anyway, like I say, there's a time and a place to kind of employ that battle sense against your imposter to kind of, when it matters. However, in terms of the yin and the yang of this, I think there's also benefits to listening to that imposter. I'm not saying believing that imposter, but there are benefits to that imposter syndrome voice. And the benefits I have definitely used over the years. Before I learned how to challenge my imposter, I would listen to it, and the most prevalent thing that I'm the imposter, the one accusing me of being an imposter, the most prevalent thing that they would say would just be like, you're not good enough. That's it. That's the basis of all of my imposter syndrome. All of it. You're not good enough. And I would listen to it. And I would believe it for years. For years. And I will say, actually, thinking about it, I don't think I had that thought for, not to that degree, basically, I know when it changed. I know when it rocked up. And that was when I went to go do that recording session. I've spoken about this so much, so sorry, I'm like a broken record. But when I went to do my first professional recording session when I was 17 and it all fell apart and they asked me to literally leave because I could not do the job, that was when my imposter syndrome voice turned up, which is a good thing, I think. It's the thing that made me work harder, understand where I needed to be, the skills that I needed that I didn't have. You know, before that point, I was a big fish in a little pond. I was still in school. I was working with, I say working, I was playing with local bands. You know, I was doing bits and bobs of work, like very little bits of work, but I was very much a big fish in a little pond. And this was the first time that I realized that I was a very small little minnow in a very large ocean. And yeah, like I said, I didn't have that imposter voice before that point. And I think it's something that you just have to learn. It was a failure, if you want, but it was the biggest learning experience of my life, my career at least. It was the best thing to happen to me. It was the most painful thing to happen to me still to date. But it was from that point I definitely was introduced to the imposter syndrome situation. But consequently, like I say, this voice would pop up. And what that meant was for me, every time it did, which all the time it was there, it meant that I overprepared for everything. I wanted to know every song I was playing inside and out. When I was going on any tours, I wanted to anticipate anything that could go wrong so that I had a plan in my head of how I would deal with it. You know, just I wanted to cover all the bases. I wanted to be not just good enough, I wanted to be like ability wise way above where I needed to be. I just wanted to be good enough. That was it. I believed this blooming voice in my head that was going, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. Now for self-esteem, not great. Really not great. However, for working professionally, really useful. Really useful, because it meant that every gig that I went into, I always, again, to me at least, and hey, look, you can ask people that I've worked with, maybe they'd say different. I think I am and have been a safe pair of hands. I often would come into rehearsals and I would know the songs better than the artist, to the point that a lot of the time I've had artists that maybe would forget lyrics, I'm singing along, they turn to me for the lyrics. I mean, it's silly, but it put me in those positions and it just gave me the drive to get into those situations, to be able to handle them, to, yeah, just build my skill set enough to be there, basically, to be in the room. And for that, my imposter syndrome, very positive thing, very positive thing. The negative of that is that I do overdo it. I have overdone it. I've gotten better now, as shown by the fact that I did not over prepare myself for the Drummer's Odyssey camp, which I'm proud of myself for. It's just interesting. Like I say, I've burnt myself out so much over the years, so many times, numerous times over, would not recommend it. But it's because it's coming from a place of insecurity that I'm not going to do a good enough job, that I'm not ready for something. And that's what it looks like for me, basically. So although I think that the imposter syndrome thing is something that everyone's trying to get rid of, I think that there's definitely a benefit to it. And in terms of that Drummer's Odyssey camp, that is the reason that, you know, although I didn't over prepare in terms of what I was going to teach each day to kind of allow for the spontaneity to be present, all those things, I did, you know, get together all those extra things to give to people at the end of it. That was my imposter going, you're not good enough. And I thought, you know what, well, okay, I'll lean into that. And although I don't believe it, because I cited all the stuff and I made a case, I thought, okay, but I could still give more value. So why not do that? And to me, that's a sort of, here's my thing. This is the sort of baseline of how I feel about imposter syndrome. If the result of your imposter syndrome is net positive, then I think it can be seen as a positive thing. So as long as the end result has benefit, it can be good. If the end result, if the net result for you is negative, change something up, challenge it, you know, because that's, I'll be honest, I think it's a big reason of why I've managed to have a career. It's because although it was horrible and difficult and challenging and, you know, it's not nice. It's not nice feeling like you're not good enough. And there's other things that factor into that, obviously. The net result for me, every time, well, I don't think it's fair to say every time, because I'm sure that there were times where I wasn't. But career-wise, it is, the net result was that I was always so prepared for every professional situation that I either put myself in or was put in, that it gave me a career, it upped my skill set, it, you know, it pushed me, it, all those things. The net result was positive, still is positive. And now the challenging of the imposter syndrome is also a net positive, because it gives me confidence. So it's a different kind of one, it's a different kind of net positive, but I think that's kind of the balance that needs to be struck. I think I'll always have imposter syndrome. And actually now I'm kind of okay with it. I'm quite, well, as you can tell, I'm quite open about it because I'm talking about it right now. I spoke about it at this drum camp. I was just like, I can only be honest about this because I don't, you know me, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, I don't want anyone to ever feel like they're the only one feeling a certain type of way. So many of us are feeling the same things and aren't talking about it, and then feel isolated and alone, and you're not, and I've been there. I've felt alone. I've felt like I was the only one going through something, and you're just not. This is the human experience, it really is. But I think learning to work with those things that we inherently all struggle with, and accepting them as well, rather than, as I did for years, trying to battle those negative things and try and silence that imposter by overworking and over-preparing and trying to, yeah, just destroy that imposter. Now, like I say, now I kind of have fun with it because I kind of end up getting aggro with it, which is kind of funny, to me at least, I don't know, and accept it and go, do you know what, there is a positive side to this. There's a positive result if I believed this. If I believed what you're saying to me, could there be a positive result from that? Like, what can I do to challenge it? Yeah, I've got my case study, I've got my evidence from the past of things that means that this is not true, but what can I put in place right now that would not make this true? If it's undermining what I'm trying to do, of course. There's it's horses for courses. Each situation is going to be different. But yeah, I just think it's an interesting thing to kind of, rather than trying to eliminate this imposter syndrome thing, which I think a lot of people are trying to destroy their own imposter syndrome. I think it's just an interesting idea to kind of notice it and use it in a positive way, and yeah, just what that might look like for you, and just accept it, like, oh yeah, that's that voice in my head that's being a blooming nightmare. Hello mate, how you doing? So yeah, and weirdly, like I say, it's kind of, this is going to sound very strange, but whenever that imposter syndrome kicks up, I don't have fun with it, but I do. It does make me laugh now. It really does. I'm just like, really? This guy again? Yeah, like I say, if the net result is positive from any sort of talking to yourself in that way, then I think that's a positive thing. There's always going to be a yin and a yang to it. There's always going to be a positive and a negative to everything that happens in life. And I think just acknowledging both sides of that coin is really important, and accepting it. And trust me, just, but if you take anything from this, because imposter syndrome can feel like a very lonely place, you are not alone. That everyone that I know is suffering with imposter syndrome, and it's the blessing and the curse of it is that it means that we are all striving to be better. And like I say, it's the reason that all of us are, it's why we want to be good at something. It's why it's going to be an endless journey, which is a beautiful thing, but it's also very frustrating. And again, it's this yin and yang, like it's the blessing and the curse of it. So I think an element of acceptance is certainly where I'm at with it, and just being open about it and talking about it. And yeah, I don't know, it's an ongoing thing. Maybe I'll do a part three in another couple of years and we can see where I'm at that point. But at this moment in time, this is where I'm at with the whole imposter syndrome thing. So yeah, I would implore you to think about maybe whether it could be a good thing versus just a negative thing, which is how imposter syndrome is portrayed so much, especially on like social media and all that. Like, it's the enemy, get rid of your imposter syndrome. Well, maybe not. Maybe have a conversation with your imposter syndrome. It's interesting. I have arguments. I quite enjoy it. I don't know why. It's weird. But anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If it has connected with you, and you feel like it might connect with someone else that you know, please do feel free to share it and do all the usual stuff, like, share, subscribe. And if you'd like to go the extra mile and support this podcast further, you now can at patreon.com/EmilyDrums. That's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And if you'd like to see anything else that I do in life generally, so whether that's doing recording for people when I'm out live, touring, or if you want some one-on-one mentoring, go to emilydrums.com. You can see all the different things I do there. I keep myself busy. Again, this is the imposter. It's the imposter in me. You have to give more. Okay, I'm going to work myself into the ground. No, I'm getting better, I promise. I am definitely getting better. Anyway, I'm going to love you. I'm going to leave you. I hope you're having a lovely day wherever you are, whatever you're up to. And I will see you next time for another subject. All right, see you later. Bye. It's